Almost half of all new doctors in the U.S. are women, but the proportion of women who are full professors at medical schools has not changed in more than 30 years. That's according to a new study published today in the Journal of the American Medical Association. Here with us to talk about this is the lead author of that study, Anupam Jena. He's an associate professor of healthcare policy at Harvard Medical School and an internist at Mass General Hospital. Good to have you on the show, Anupam.
Thank you for having me.
So your study looked at a lot of professional data about physicians. Can you just tell us your findings?
Sure. We looked at data from about 90,000 academic physicians, 30,000 women, and 60,000 men. And we had very rich data on a lot of factors that you would think would influence the promotion process, such as their age, years of experience, number of publications that they've authored, number of NIH grants, clinical trials, and their specialty. And what we found is that when you kind of accounted for all of these different factors, women were still about 15% less likely to be full professor than men.
Mm-hmm. And that means women with the same type of experience as the men. Obviously, if you have 30,000 women and 60,000 men, you're going to have more men than you are women in this study. But when you tried to look at them comparably, what you found was that a woman in a comparable position to a man would be 15% less likely to be a full professor at a U.S. medical school.
That's right. The thought experiment is if you took a group of medical students or a group of, let's say, resident physicians who finished in 1980, and they entered their careers then, and then you look at them now, in 2015, more than 35 years later, and you ask in that same cohort of graduates, what fraction of men and women are full professors? Once you look at the same people with the same number of publications and grants and so forth, women are less likely. Mm.
So, and you also looked at some of the explanations that are often given for discrepancies such as this, women are more likely to take time off to have children, or they may make different work-life choices. I mean, what did you find there about those explanations?
So, what we actually did was we looked at people who have similar levels of productivity, and the idea was the following. Things like interruptions to the career and maybe even different interests in research, those kinds of factors would influence productivity on the whole. And what we actually found is that on average, women had lower research productivity than men. But once you account for that and you look at two people who have identical levels of research productivity, identical levels of experience, and are in the same specialty, we still found that women were less likely to be full professor. And to me, that suggests that there's some discrimination that's occurring in that promotion process.
So it's the promotion process that's to blame, really.
That's my opinion, yes.
And so why do you think that this is important, aside from the fact that it is potential discrimination in the promotion process? Who does this affect?
I think it affects a lot of people. I mean, it certainly affects women in academic medicine who are thinking about going and developing academic careers. And at the end of the day, what we want is the best minds, the best researchers, and the best clinicians. And anytime you have a system that doesn't adequately reward people for equal quality work, what you're going to have is people who are less qualified or people who are very qualified not choosing to go into those professions. And so I think in order to make sure that we have the best minds thinking about the issues in healthcare, we want to have an equitable process.
And roughly, at least in terms of schools that you may know of anecdotally, what does that mean in terms of pay for women?
There's much less data on pay for women. We actually have assembled data from almost 15 or 20 public universities that report their salaries online. And what we find actually is that, again, doing the same kind of analysis where you account for all these factors that would influence pay, we find that women actually make about $20,000 less than male physicians within these public university medical schools.
Mm. And that's on average?
That's on average, yeah. Mm.
What do you think medical schools should do to try to address that? I noticed that your study mentioned that, women may not have enough mentors to be able to know how to navigate the system to get full professorship or more promotion or whatnot. But, of course, if the system is such that they cannot do that, of course, it's a cycle, right? So what do you think medical schools should do?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think that two components of the problem. The first problem is that there's lack of adequate mentorship and potentially lack of institutional resources. And those two factors would lower the ability of a woman to be as productive in research as a man. And so the solutions there are, I think, pretty clear, increased mentorship and increased institutional resources. But the second component of the problem is, well, once you equalize a playing field and you have men and women that are equally productive in their research capacity and in their research lives, how do you then ensure that the promotion process is also equitable? And I think one potential solution would be to recognize what we did in this paper. We essentially analyzed data from a lot of physicians, and there's no reason that institutions themselves couldn't do the same sort of analysis and make this data transparent either to people in the university or to particular groups who are responsible for making sure that the process is equitable, essentially analyzing the data at the institution level.
Do you think that patients are affected at all by this? How would you describe that?
Yeah, that's a tough question. It's hard to say. I think to the extent, for instance, that women are less likely to be involved in running clinical trials and to the extent that we know that women are less likely to be participants in clinical trials, you could imagine a scenario whereby increasing the number of women who run clinical trials would also have the spillover effect where we get more women participants as patients in clinical trials, and we get a better understanding of how new medical innovations impact both women and men.
Anupam Jena, an associate professor of healthcare policy at Harvard Medical School and an internist at Mass General Hospital. His study was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association today. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
And stay with us. Still ahead, how to teach religion in an age of intolerance. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Deborah Becker. This is Radio Boston.